Hello, hello, everyone. This is Mika Ray with the G-Spots. Hey, my little bedroom playmates. I am so happy you all have joined us tonight, and I'm looking forward to discussing sexual awakening and kundalini with Shofar tonight. And I do have my co-host. I believe he's on. Let's see, give me 1 second, and I will bring him on in just a moment. Of course, you know, every Monday we also have Keroy on. And Keroy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, how are you? Are you excited about our subject tonight?
Actually, I really am. I'm interested in hearing what he got to say.
I am really, really, really excited. I cannot wait. I am really looking forward to this show tonight, and I'm looking forward to the questions. I hope a few of you all that are out there and you're listening, feel free to press 1 to ask a question or give a comment and just to talk to us about what kundalini is and how we can help your sex life. I am also going to sit up to Keroy. I did have a short session with him last night, so I will definitely share with you all the session and how it went and what I thought about it. So let me just give you a breakdown of what kundalini, he does. His name is Shofar, and he called it full show energy work, and he says it reclaims sex for healing. Sexual energy is the core of our very being. It is the act of creation, not only creating physical life, but also to help us create the life we want. If our mind, body, and spirit becomes imbalanced, then stress, sickness, and unhappiness will follow. Our sexual energy, when used properly, is a powerful tool to balance our life. Sex sparks our awareness of sensual connection, which nurtures our ability to create fulfilling lives. So that was just a little blurb from his website, and I'm going to post his website in the group so you all can take a look and see what it's all about, and I'm posting it now. So I'm thinking, I'm really looking forward to it. I had a good conversation with him last night, and he did give me a little bit of background, but we will save most of it when we talk to him today. So what I'm going to do now is play a song. You know, I always like to play a song, set the mood. And this is Indulge by Jones. So we'll play this, Keroy, and then we will come back, okay?
All right.
It's so addictive, the way that you breathe. I can't resist it. So when you talk, I can't help but listen. I feel every sound. You could say I'm obsessive. I'm in danger, but I savor the thrill of you. Thank you.
right. That was such a sexy song, and I think that it says a lot about what we're going to do tonight. Kiro, what you think?
Yeah, it does. It's at the right mood for it.
Yeah, I think it does. It's just all about that energy and indulging and feeling sexy and feeling good and spiritual and all that. So we're going to bring on Shofar so he can talk. Everybody remember that for those that are joining, we are talking about sexual awakening and kundalini. Kundalini is a type of energy. I don't really know how to explain it, but Shofar will definitely explain it. It kind of reminds you of tiny bit of Tantra. As you all know, if you have ever attended any of my sex and sensuality sessions, I do go through a mild version of Tantra where I'm doing the deep breathing, the eye contact, the touching, and then we go through the smells, like the aphrodisiacs. This is a similar type of thing where it's about the breathing and tuning into each other's energy level in your body, because sex is more than just physical. We have to get past just the physical act of sex and learn to connect with each other on a spiritual, energetic level. So that is what we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm going to bring Shofar on.
Hey, Mika Ray, what's going on? I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, how are you? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. We are loud and clear. Got me over here doing my two-step listening to your music. I'm like, oh.
Well, music is definitely something that we do. Keyroy, meet Shofar.
Keyroy, what's up, bro?
I'm good, bro. What's up with you? All right. I'm interested in hearing what you got to say about this.
Okay, that's what's up.
All right.
So, Shofar, first, let's start off with you just giving us a little bit of background about who you are first, and then let's start off with who you are first, and then we'll go into how did you get into this line of work, and then we'll go into the definition, and then we'll go into some of the techniques that you use, okay? So let's first talk about a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, first off, to really give you an idea of who I am, I'm one of those who knows who you are, you know, and that we're all divine beings and that we're here having an earthly experience. So that of itself speaks to who I am and also who each and every one of you who are listening, who we all are. My background is in, you know, when I was like 11 years old, my mom converted over to Judaism, and don't worry, I'm starting off at 11, but I'm going to fast forward real quick. That was my background with the Tree of Life thing. You know, she got into the Kabbalah and some higher, I guess what you would call esoteric teachings. And esoteric just meaning hidden, things that are kind of deep or things that are not common, you know, common knowledge to the average person. And so fast forward into, 2002, I met a gentleman, Qigong master by the name of Master Yao, Yao Morris.
Okay.
And this brother, he put me onto some very interesting things. He put me onto Qigong, which is basically translated roughly into English from Chinese. It's called breath work. He put me onto the Kemetic or the ancient Egyptian tree of life, which is a whole understanding about the hierarchy and the spirit and how that relates to us in our life. And then he also put me on to Tantra. And so that was my introduction to it. And it's just been spiraling since then. In 2007, Yao Morris introduced me to another master named Shantan Nityama. And between the two of them, they blew my mind. They introduced me to a lot of things that's how I am where I am now.
Okay, nice. So when you met these particular individuals, did they give you any type of training regarding Tantra and the breath work and all of that?
Right. So as far as like an official training, no. Yao Morris, he does have an online course and also a course. Actually, he's based in Atlanta now. that you can go to and get a formalized training. And then Nichiyama, it was basically more or less like, fortunately with either one of those brothers, when I would call them up, if I could get them on the phone, then they would answer my questions. And it was really, you know, more or less just me exploring on my own, but asking questions and just keep going deeper and deeper into the knowledge. And so it was never really hands-on, but it was always, you know, maybe I might need to try it 3 or 4 times to get them, but once I finally get them on the phone, it'd take an hour, hour and a half to answer some questions, and it would really help me out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what made you interested in doing this as your line of work?
Well, I have always been interested in, you know, human consciousness and human potential, just being the best that I can be, you know. So even, you know, when I was in my early 20s and everything, I just read a lot of Nightingale Conant stuff, you know, Think and Grow Rich, these type of things. But really, you know, I love sex. So that was another thing, you know, just keeping it real. And so
love sex, I guess.
right. So, you know, when I saw a way that I could, through sex and through understanding the energy that comes from it, affect my consciousness and make me a better being, make me a more aware person, make me more connected or understand my connection to God more, I was all for it. So when Yao invited me and two of my buddies over to his house, what he did is we came over to his house. He had the DVD on. And on the DVD was this brother on there, and there was a woman laying on the table naked. And I'm like, okay, you know, what you call us over here to watch this for? You can watch this on your own. You know, we don't need four dudes watching the porn, you know? So, but he was like, nah, chill, check it out. So the brother just starts waving his hand over the woman. At first, nothing goes on.
Okay.
Then after a while, I noticed the shorty's girl face is starting to get red. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on? Next thing you know, she just started orgasming. And I'm like,
okay,
I want to learn that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
Sign me up, you know? And so that was my introduction to it.
Okay.
That was in 2007.
Wow.
Yeah, that was in 2007.
Okay. Why do you think this is such an important piece for, let's go through this. What is your definition? What is Kundalini and what is Tantra?
Sure. Kundalini is you. Kundalini is everything that you can think about. Now, there are different variations and vibrations of it. And Kundalini science to me is the art and knowing of how to play with the vibration at will. So if you want to be happier, if you want to manifest something or whatever, there's a certain vibration or whatever you need to get on. I know this is stuff that's coming more and more mainstream and everything, but there's actual science to it. And so that is Kundalini. One of the most powerful things we have, of course, is sex and emotions. And I'll maybe get into that, you know, I'll get a little bit more into that in a second. As far as Tantra, in the West, you know, we have a kind of a, if we have even heard of it, we may have a misunderstanding about it. So on my website, I don't have the word Tantra anywhere, but we have it in my questions and answers where people ask, is this Tantra? And let me explain. My answer to that is, what I do is a Tantra, I say yes and no. In deep schools of thought in India, Tantra is basically anything that you do with complete and utter awareness. So it's kind of similar to the Chinese concept of Tao, the Tao or Taoism. They're very similar in that. Little different teachings or whatever, but more or less the basic concept is the same. Whatever you do and you do it wholly, that is Tantra. So it just so happens that one of the most powerful things we can do as creators, when the man and woman get together, you know, is sex. So that's one of the most powerful teachings of Tantra. But the Western mind, so focused on sex, is totally negated that you could be cooking your food and do Tantra. You could be, you know, sitting underneath a tree and do Tantra. You could be surfing and do Tantra. You know, anything that you do with whole awareness, that is Tantra. The Western understanding of it, though, is just specifically more or less from my understanding or what I've been exposed to is just the sexual component, which is nothing wrong with that, but it can be misunderstood. And then there's also one other small branch that I've seen, especially out here where I'm in California, in San Diego, where Tantra to people equals polyamory. We have multiple lovers. again, nothing wrong with that, but that is not of itself tantra.
Yeah, that was something I think when we had a discussion the other a few nights ago. Tantra I've never related tantra. Whenever I've taught it, I've never heard of it being related to polyamory. So that is something that is very new to me to hear from you. But I have what I teach, or not teach, but demonstrate, because I don't necessarily teach tantra. But I will demonstrate a few techniques on learning to connect with your partner beyond just the physical. And that is the, because it focuses a lot on sensation, eye contact, deep breathing, of course, smells. It's all about the spiritual and the energetic. And if you can, very similar to what we had talked about when we talked about Kundalini and did the session, is being able right. to breathe and make sure you're in sync, and then get to a point where you're looking at each other and you're able to see each other's soul, and then you're going beyond that with the sensations, because the heightened your awareness is for your partner, the more sensitive you will become, which will lead you to a higher orgasm. And you may not even get to the point of sex, the physical act of sex. You may just,
right.
because of the breathing and the sensations and the energy flow between you two. So, but I haven't heard that. So that was something new about the polyamory, because polyamory is something totally different. And I am going to do a show on that, just to let you know. So hopefully you'll tune in then. I'll do a show on polyamory, but a lot of times, from what I know and from the people that I know who practice poly lifestyle, they is nothing about energy, it's nothing about that. It's just about the fact that they have open relationships, and those open relationships may lead to, a relationship with someone here, relationship with someone there, but every person serves a different purpose for their love life. And then they may not even have sex with all of them. They may have sex with one, and the other person they may not have sex with. This person is probably there for their emotional fulfillment. But they each have a different reason for being in that individual's life. And then they have like a primary and a secondary partner, but they also have boundaries that are established and that are followed throughout the process. But that was just, I just kind of wanted to throw that in there, but finish. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Well, that was it of a nutshell. I think though it may be helpful, Mika, if I, just to demystify some things. Cause again, what I found with teachings like this, that sometimes we have to really bring it down to the ground level for people, to the earth level, and really when we start talking about concepts or things like energy and spirit,
mm-hmm.
I really, really, a big part of what I like to do is demystify these things. So, like what we talk about when we talk about, spirit, for my science heads, I'll go real quickly into a science way of thinking about it. There's a organization called HeartMath, and they've done all this scientific research on what we call the bioelectrical field. The bioelectrical field is something that your heart gives off, just like the electromagnetic field of the earth. And since your heart is electrical, it gives off a field, and basically we can interact with that field. We can do all sorts of amazing things with that. That's from the science standpoint. Now, again, the name of that organization is called HeartMath. You can Google them and look them up. They have a lot of interesting findings about basically what they're talking about, though, from a science standpoint. It's just different dialect. It's just different vernacular, but it's the same thing. They're talking about spirit. And so now that's for my science heads, for my people who are getting on a different level. If you've ever felt love, if you've ever felt any type of emotion, that's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's spirit. Very simple. That's spirit. If you have an apple, and you think of an apple, the apple exists on the physical dimension right here and now. The thought of an apple exist also. That's how come you can see it in your mind's eye. It just it exists at a higher vibration. That spirit. A thought is spirit. So we have been dealing with spirit all our lives a lot of times, but we don't know it.
Okay. Okay, well, that's definitely something to think about. Keyword, did you have something you wanted to say?
I mean, it's very interesting so far, but I do have a question. What is Qigong? Could you spell, am I pronouncing that correct? Can you explain that to me?
Sure. It's Q-I and then capital G-O-N-G. So it's two words. It's Qi and then Gong. And basically it's translated roughly to breath work. And so it's the whole concept that doing different breathing techniques, also different sounds, that they will help to tone your body, basically get your body into harmony with nature. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, say, for instance, if the lungs are out of balance, the negative emotion that will show up when our lungs, from the school of thought that I've been taught, is the negative emotion that will show up is grief or sadness.
Mm.
So there's different exercises that we can do, different sounds. That's one of the reasons I believe that our organs, our cold organs, if you think about an organ, is an instrument. And so the Chinese teach that there's a certain sound, a certain frequency, a certain vibration to each one of our major organs. And by doing these different sounds, when we start to sense that we're out of tune, so to speak, with one of these different energies, one of our organs, we do these sounds, we do these movements, we do this certain type of breath to bring it back into harmony.
So how would you know if you're out of tune?
So your emotions are one of your greatest ways to know if you're out of tune is, number one, your thoughts. What kind of thoughts are you getting? You know, if they're of a negative nature, you know, things that are self-defeating, you know, disbelief, doubt, you know, all these different things that are really basically self-defeating. Another great indication is, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? If you are not feeling good, you are out of harmony.
Right. And then these breathing techniques just help you get back
right.
in order.
Right. And one thing I want to point out, Nityama and Yao, one of the things that they called stuff like Qigong and Tantra, they called this stuff, where one of the workshops I went to, they called it technology. And I was like, what the fuck? Technology? It just blew my mind. But I started thinking about it. I'm like, yes, because one of the most greatest, the greatest inventions ever is human beings. And these are different technologies that get us to operate at our optimum level. See, we've been fooled to think that technology is the phones that we're talking on right now or the computers. No, we are the greatest technology. We got to bring this stuff home. We got to bring this stuff back to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that is very amazing to hear, because a lot of times we don't understand the significance of, like you said, the organs in our bodies and how much control we have over them, making them feel better through, I guess, energy. So that's very amazing. I'm enjoying this conversation so far. What I'm going to do is play a song, then I want to come back and I want you to kind of go delve a little bit into what you do in a session.
Sure.
And we'll talk about my session last night. And then we'll go into what you actually do in a session. And then I really want us to touch base on how people can use this, not only in their sex life, I do want you to definitely cover that, but how they can also use it in their everyday life. Because there is a such thing as, if I'm not mistaken, as Kundalini yoga.
Right.
So I don't know if you can kind of tell us about that as well. And so we'll go into that. So the next song that I'm going to play, everyone, is Effectuation. This is by a friend of mine. It's, her name is Kriya. She wrote this song many years ago, but I really like this song. I thought it was very nice, and I think it fits what we are talking about today. So I'm going to play this song, and then we will come back with more from Shofa.
Sounds good.
To
Okay. So that was a good song. I think that fit the conversation of the night.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
You know, I always try to center my songs around our conversation. So, but I love that song. So, but yes. So, if you don't mind, I want to make sure I let everybody know because I had a few callers join in since we've been playing the music. So, I'm just letting everybody know that you are listening to the G Spot with Mika Ray. I'm on every Monday night at 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. com, and this is WJBR. Tonight we are discussing sexual awakening and kundalini, which is basically all about your sexual energy, is using your breath work and all of that. And we're discussing it with Shofar, who your company, now is your company called what is the name of your company?
Yes, the name of my company is Fosho. A girlfriend of mine,
okay.
She shorted my name up, gave me a nickname, first it was Show and then it was Fo Show. And then when I got into Chinese medicine, because I also study acupuncture and Chinese herbs currently, when I got into that, I was taking a Chinese medicine language class, and we had to pick a Chinese name. And just a little bit before we were told we needed to pick a Chinese name, they had told us that that the word Fo Show means Buddha hands. So I was like, oh shit, I know my name right there. That's my Chinese name right there, for sure. You know? So I was like, good, you know.
Okay, well, I do have a question for you. Someone did ask
sure.
a question, and she stated, do you implement Orisha tradition or other Yoruban, I guess I'm pronouncing this right, principles into your work?
How what were those two things she said?
Orisha, I guess, O-R-I-S-H.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Or Yoruban,
Y-O-R-U-B-A-N.
Yes. Okay.
Orisha and Yoruba, yes.
Yoruba.
Yoruba.
Okay.
Yoruba, I'm sorry. Yoruba, yes, I do.
Okay.
I do incorporate those as well. Like, I'm pretty
okay.
broad as far as the spectrum of, influence on myself. Like, have a Hebrew name. But my company name is Chinese, you know. I'm very Black Power, but yet I'm also about human consciousness as a whole. So I do the Orisha and the understanding of the Yoruba. That comes from West Africa. It comes from the people, I believe, of Nigeria. And it's basically the understanding that the Orisha are basically what the people, the Yoruba people of West Africa, gave the names of the different forces of nature. And different cultures have called them different things. When the three major religions were coming to these different indigenous cultures around the world
okay.
and see them, worshiping and using these things, they said right away they were polytheists. But it wasn't that they
okay.
were polytheists, that they believed in multiple gods. It was that they understood that there was different vibrations and different forces of nature and different aspects of God. It would be like, Mika, the beautiful, Mika, the kind-hearted, Mika, the angry. You know, it's different aspects of the same one being. So, but yes, to answer
okay.
your question, yes.
Oh, wow, great. She said that you're right. So she sold.
Good, I'm all right. I got a thumbs up.
Correct.
I'm good. All right, let me put my Wikipedia up real quick.
No, she said that you're right, and I did look it up. As you talk about different things, I am posting links for everyone to go to. So as he is discussing these different forms of work and religion and culture, I am posting them in the Facebook group so you all can look at them and view them for yourself as well. So I am posting it, and it does sound close to exactly what you were saying. So I'm excited about that. I like to hear because sometimes we feel like we have a knowledge of something, and then we try to share it. But then when people ask questions, it's like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I like
right.
to know that someone is well versed on their point of view and their. in the areas that they work in, because a lot of people aren't well-versed. And they may tell you, or they, you know, you may see a website out there, you're like, oh, yeah, that's who I want to work with. But definitely always ask questions, talk to people, try to figure out if they know what they're talking about, because this is serious stuff, and these are things that are helping your life in some kind of way, or, you know, you're trusting your spirit with these people. So that goes for therapists such as myself, and for people who are doing, you know, exactly what you're doing, or any other form of healing that is out there. You always want to make sure they know what they're talking about. So I'm happy you know what you're talking about. So go ahead and run us through what a session looks like with you. And,
sure.
You know, yeah, start from the beginning to the end. We want to hear. We are ready.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, if it's in person here in San Diego, or even if it's over Skype, basically what I've already done before, and I like to even start before you get there. Before the person gets there, I've already maybe had a conversation with them, talked briefly on Skype. You know, I have some feel of who this person is, what's important to them, what they're looking to get out of this. And so basically, as soon as I can, definitely no less than an hour before the session, but I'm already preparing my energy. I'm already tuning in, so to speak, to that person's frequency, to their vibration, to what's going on with them. And, you know, before the person gets there, I clean the, I burn some sage, which the Native Americans use to cleanse the area or whatever, to bring in a good vibration, clear any old emotional or thought forms or whatever that wouldn't serve this person. So I cleanse the space and really get ready for the person that's coming. And then from there, if it's in person, then the person will, we'll talk for at least an hour. 30 minutes to an hour is usually common. Really, because I find that's really just gets the person comfortable. Even if we've met at a Starbucks or something like that beforehand, it's still, when they come, I need to, you know, make sure that they're comfortable before we even get into things.
Okay.
And, you know, once the session starts, they get on the table, and they can be fully clothed or not clothed. That's totally up to them. I'm always fully clothed, just for the record. I'm always fully clothed. I never bring it up. That's
just
something, you know,
out.
Again. Sure.
I just wanted to point out, so on your site, you definitely said that you stay on your site and you're really adamant about it. On your site, there is no nudity involved. There doesn't have to be any nudity involved.
Right.
Or touching.
Right. No, as far as the touching, if it's in person, what will happen is the hands, the feet, the stomach, the back, you know, the face maybe, depending on what the person has going on. Let me backtrack. One of the things that we talk about is what's going on with their health, what's going on with their relationship, what's going on with their sex life. So these different questions that I'm asking is just like if you go to see an acupuncturist. They're asking you these different questions to kind of get a feel for what energy, what orisha, if you will, what nidra, what energy that you may be out of balance with.
Mm-hmm.
What energies are strong with you, what energies are maybe a little weaker, you know. What chakras, if you want to go to that system of thought, what chakra may need to be balanced or whatever. So those are what the questions I'm trying to get at that I'm asking. Sometimes I don't even need to ask the question because I already kind of get a feel of, okay, I know that the person will benefit from this. But sometimes it's a little more hidden. So fast forward back again to the table work. So the hands, the feet, the stomach, the back, I don't touch the breasts. I don't touch the inner thighs. I don't touch the vagina. When I do this work. Now, I know sometimes the question comes up, do you work on men? I don't do the work on men, and the reason why, and I do answer this on the frequently asked questions, but I just want to bring that up here, is would it work on a man? Yes. But the main reason is it's just kind of like a battery. You have a positive pole and you have a negative pole. If we both have the same polarity, the same energy, we're both putting out energy, nobody's receiving. You know, now if the man lays on the table, he's putting himself in a receptive mode. True. So that's why I say, yes, it could work. But both my energy and his energy are going to have to work harder. That may be fine for one session. But if you keep doing that, you run the risk of burning each other out. And then plus just watching a brother get a big, hard, stiff one ain't my thing. You know, so that's the other reason. seeing the sheet slowly starting to rise, you know, that just so that's the other reason. Just keeping it real. But so yeah. We set it at ease, we you know, so based on what the person has going on, I may touch you know, these different areas with their permission, of course. The hands, the feet, their fourth and forearm. If it's a connection where I don't need to, I might, the massage table is over here, I might lay on the couch and just tune into them, and you don't even need to touch them. Or I might wave my hand over them, like kind of like a Reiki thing. You just wave your hand over certain places. You don't have to make physical contact with the body at that point. So, and this all flows throughout the session. Like I may, you know, switch from that, from one technique to the other.
Okay, wow. Now, you mentioned I understand about the men, and, well, first let's go into when you do these sessions, what is it helping the woman to achieve, per se? Because you kind of touched on it, but I'm not sure I quite understand.
Sure. So, there's three major things that you receive from this. Like, I have this covered on the website slightly, but we can go in a little bit more detail here. It's like, if the person just wants to experience more arousal or balance of the libido, I'll say it's too high or say that it's not enough, they'll find that this work will help out in the area of their libido, of their sexual drive, one way or the other. And then also just the creativity that they find in the bedroom and everything. It will just add to their sensitivity. You know, the breast, the vagina, even though I'm not touching those areas are the sexual areas on the woman. So those have become even more sensitive. And so when they go back to their partner and everything, now the person barely has to, you know, look at them in those areas and they already are very aroused. So that's one benefit. Another benefit is for those women who are coming to me who maybe want some type of breakthrough in their life, because our sexual energy is what creates everything that's going on around us. We have negated, right. we have ignored, you know, out of ignorance, because we haven't known, but the same force that's making our heart beat right now, the same force is allowing you to understand my words and digesting your food and got your menstrual, the same energy that's doing all of that can make you meet the right person at the right time. That same energy can make all these different things in your life move. But we have locked it up because of our beliefs and because of our feelings. We have locked those things up. So by moving the energy in the session, you'll find that, oh, shit, I got the job, you know. Or you won't believe it, I just met this person. You know, I just met my, you know, you know, so when you move the energy, it also has an effect on the outside, the quote unquote outside, where it really is all the same. We just think it's separate. And then the last thing is it will help heal. Some of us have had, I went to hear this one acupuncturist talk, and she was talking about bad sex. And bad sex is, of course, all of the things, I don't even like to mention the name sometimes because it just triggers things in people. But it's all the obvious things that are bad sex. And then sometimes they're not so obvious. It's, you know what, I'm not really satisfying my partner, and I know that. You know, they have never given voice to it. They have never even said it or acknowledged it, but I know I'm not satisfying. That has an effect on your energy. Or if they're not satisfying you.
That is an amazing thing to discuss. And I wanted to touch on two things, and I'm going to let you get back to it. I do definitely agree that we have, first off, we don't think of sex, and we have placed such a negative connotation on sex. And that's my goal with the work that I do, is to help women feel more sexually empowered and confident in who they are as sexual beings, and not necessarily in the sense of, oh, I have to please the man, I have to do this, I have to do that, this is what I'm supposed to do type stuff. But it's because, you know what, I want to feel pleasure, and I deserve to feel that pleasure just as much as I deserve to give it. So that's my goal. But I also want to take the stigma off of sex, because if we can talk about it more, then we can learn to connect with it in a different way, in a better way, which in turn will help us be more in tune to our partners and in tune to what it is that they need in the bed, And like you said, if you're feeling like you're inadequate, if you're not confident in your sex and what you do and in your love making, that other person is going to feel that energy, and it's just going to make the sexual experience poor.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think that was, those are very good points. Very good points. But go ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. No, you hit it right on the head there, Amika. And what happens there is, you know, the man's testosterone starts to go down. Then he knows he's not satisfying. Then he starts to, it creates a cycle. It just makes things worse.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing for the woman. Like, you know, she starts to check out emotionally. You know, she becomes maybe more frigid in the relationship, you know. And then guess
right.
what? You know, then that's affecting him. So, I mean, it just creates this cycle where it spirals out of control in a beautiful relationship. Now maybe you don't have it anymore, you know, so...
Right.
These are the things that, you know, so healing around bad sex or whatever, getting rid of these traumas, those things that have, all of the things that have not felt like love to the woman, because y'all are sensitive and you're supposed to be. And, but a lot of women have become numb, and I understand how that happens in this patriarchal society that we lived in.
Uh-huh.
You have to somewhat shut down, I guess, to even make it sometimes. With all the things that's constantly bombarding the woman, and tantric, you know, sexual healing, all this type of thing, this would be a natural phenomenon. This would be something that would be regularly happening if we lived on a very conscious planet. You know, this would be how men and women interact all the time, and the woman would be constantly getting cleared of these things, and that helps the man, too, because then he gets to see his power. He gets to feel how powerful he is in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dual purpose.
Right. Kiro, did you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. Like when you was mentioning about, and this is just for the fellas who are listening, about the man's testosterone going down and losing confidence and things of that nature. With the techniques you train, I mean, are you able to teach men to bounce back from that type of predicament?
Yes, I do. So, you know, because I'm not going to leave the men out, you know. I won't do the energy work on them, but I do teach them and do Qigong coaching, and that's dual purpose because it helps them with all sorts of things in their life, and definitely in the sexual arena too. So in 2002 when I met the first gentleman, Yao Morris, when I met him, a lot of my training and stuff that I was going through was Qigong, you know, to get me more in tune with just subtle energy. You know, and understand and be able to feel the energy in myself before I even try to move on to the woman. I got to get my stuff right.
Right.
So you said that you was working with Yao Morris?
Yes.
Do you know that I was on one of his book covers? So that's so interesting how
energy. Oh, tonight. Wow, you were on the Oracle of Kim Zanu. Right as you said it, I saw that picture in my head. Right as you said it, I was like, wow,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, okay. That's cool.
That is amazing. That's really cool. Because I did that book cover with him, and then after I did the actual book cover with him, he was doing a few classes here. And I'm going to post this information for people in the group because one young lady asked how she can learn this for her husband.
Sure.
So I post your website. I also post his website because I know in Atlanta he sometimes teaches these classes all about Tantra and all about Kundalini. So I definitely want to make sure she has that. But how do you feel she can incorporate that in her sex life, even if you could just give her some tips? Now.
Sure, sure.
She's talking about with her husband.
What I would say is definitely if she's in the Atlanta area, definitely look into Yao Morris because he does, he, like you said, he'll have some classes going on right now. He does also do online classes as well, and he has people all around the world now tuning into his online stuff. You know, and I'm actually still, you know, I always stay in the teacher mode. Like Bruce Lee said, we got to always keep that glass where you can still fill it up more, you know. So I always stay in I'm staying in the teaching and slash learning mode at this point.
So he has some stuff that she can tune into on the local level. And then as far as the Qigong and the energy work and all that, she can also hit me up as well, and I can ask him some questions if he's open to talking to me. I can answer his questions and really point him in the right direction. With men, the approach that I like to use, the other gentleman, Shantam Nityama, the approach that he took with me, and I really appreciate now, not in, appreciate as much at the moment when I was going through it, but it was more, he'd tell me a little bit, and then I got to figure it out. Uh-huh. But like he said, he came up in the streets. He came up with hustlers and stuff. And so he was like, man, when I was running with the OGs and stuff, they're not going to tell you all the game. They let you hang with them and see if you're sharp enough to pick it up, you know? And that's kind of my approach, too. Like, it's kind of wax on, wax off, like the first Karate Kid. You just point people in a direction, and if the man really wants it, then he'll get it. If he don't really want it, he won't. Yeah.
So if she wanted to do anything with her husband tonight, like, you know, she just wanted to do some things tonight, can you give her, like, three good tips? Three good things she could do for her husband. And then I want us to go into talk just briefly about same-sex couples. But for now, if you can give her some tips.
Sure. So what she could do is one technique that's really helpful. First off, they can just get together and just breathe together. You know, just take a moment to really connect with each other's breath. And be really in tune with your body and see if you can, see what you feel inside your body and then, you know, check in after you're done with that and see what he feels in his body. You'd be surprised at the sensations when you point your awareness into your body like that. You'd be surprised at the things you start picking up. So that's number one, is the breath. Number two, there's a technique where he can take his left hand and place it underneath her neck. Now, I just wanted to have one little, I guess, asterisk here. This is just to begin off. Like, I don't like to get men, especially because we are kind of more regimented by nature. We are more systematic and robotic sometimes. So, and this is about flow. This is all about flow. So I just want to make that as a little small caveat there. But just to help her right now, we'll go ahead and give a technique. But I kind of stray away from techniques because I know the nature of man. And like, you know what I'm saying? We start thinking that's the magic, and that's the magic is not the technique. The magic is the woman. You know, it's your being. You know, so once you really understand the energy enough, you could take her toe and have the same effect as her clit. So, but anyway, take your left hand and put it underneath her neck. And then take your right hand and slowly cup her, what breast would that be, the right breast. And when I say cup it, just slowly push it. See the most minimum movement you can do to it and be tuned into that.
You said cup the what now?
Her right breast with his right
the
hand.
Right breast.
The right brain with the right hand. Because what that technique does is it takes the energy that now you got your left hand and you're receiving energy from her head, from her neck, and you're taking it and putting that energy into her breast, into her heart. Because our poor women on the planet are so much in their heads that they can't feel their body anymore. Wow. There's so much in their heads that their breasts have become numb, their vagina, you know, the little bit of feeling that they do have left or whatever is nowhere near how sensitive they could be in these areas, especially her breasts, because that is her strong point.
Okay.
So those two, I would say, start with, you know, the breath and then doing that one little technique, and that would be a good starting point.
And I'm sorry, can you see what that actually does again?
What's that?
What does it actually do when you do that for the woman?
Sure. So what you're doing is with that left hand, kind of think of it, anytime you're doing things like this, think of it as circuits. This is what helped me out in this. Like, think of it as that you're completing a circuit, like where energy flows or whatever. So you need a positive pole and you need a negative pole. So with your left hand, what you're doing is you're taking the energy, the left hand is receiving energy from her head area.
And then your right hand being underneath her breast, you're taking that energy through you and transforming it with your male energy. You're taking her feminine energy and using your body basically as a transformer and then putting it back into her breast or whatever. And that will feel really good. A lot, maybe the woman might fall asleep. You know, she might fall asleep, but it'd be one of the most soundest rests that she's ever gotten. You know, she may get very aroused. She may fall somewhere in between that strata, like either rest, very aroused, or somewhere in between. But all of it is going to be good.
All right, man. I'm anxious to try that.
That's what's up.
Okay. That's definitely some good tips. Thank you for sharing that. And I hope you got it out there, young lady. She had it. She was trying to do that. The other one, someone did mention that she wants you to be naked. That's what she told me. She was like, if she has to be naked, you have to be naked. She don't want to be the only one vulnerable on this table. So.
I got you. I feel you. Well, I tell you what, you don't have to be naked. So there you go. You know, so.
There you go, because you're not going to be naked. But I do think that it offers a level of safety for women, because this is a very vulnerable thing to be in. And if I would suggest no nudity to continue to feel safe and secure, because that's another thing. Women, we do have a hard time trusting men in our most vulnerable state. That is another thing that I think really keeps women from connecting on that sexual level. Even if it's their husbands or, you know, their partners or their boyfriends, even in, I would say, in same-sex relationships, women have a hard time being sexually vulnerable. And that's not because of something within them. It's a lot of times it's because of society and what has happened based on our sexuality. It's like we are prey. You know, so we're put in this position of, you know, if we're too sexual, we may be raped. Or even if we're not sexual enough, we may be raped. If we're not dressed this way, we may be. So it's like this vulnerability is really hard to get to for that woman. I do think something like this can help. However, I do also think that they need to feel very, very safe. So that conversation before and that learning who this person is beforehand really makes a big difference. Now, can you also touch on really quickly same-sex couples, lesbian couples? You kind of talked about the men, but I would like to know about lesbian couples. How is this something that can help lesbian couples as well? And if it is, how, in what way?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, it could definitely help a lesbian couple out as well. What they would need to do there is, you know, if there's one person that has an energy that's more oriented towards the masculine side, and if there's one that's going to, and it could vary from, you know, each time that you're in the bedroom, and then there's one who's going to be more in the receptive mode at this time, and this can vary not even just from time to time, but from moment to moment. You switch the energies and everything, but you have to have one receiver. You have to have one that's receptive. I mean, one that's putting out the energy and one that's receiving, in order for the energy to flow. So that dynamic, once you work that out and everything, you're good to go.
But okay, can you say it again?
Sure.
Can you repeat a little bit of what you just said?
Sure. No. Well, it's definitely just so you have the one energy where like say in the Chinese medicine they teach about the yang energy, the what you would call the masculine, or the energy that is going to act as the catalyst, the initiator, the energy that moves on something. That's the yang energy. In America we call it yang, but from my understanding, the proper pronunciation is yang.
Okay.
You know, by no means am I a Chinese speaker, so hopefully I got it right too. And then the energy that is moved on, though, is the yin, is the feminine. And so as long as you have one person in that dynamic, Like, if you're going to do the energy portion of this where you're waving your hand over to the other woman or whatever,
mm-hmm.
She has to, the one woman that's being moved on, she has to be fully receptive. And then the other woman has to be very much in that other, the yang energy. And again, now, what I will say, though, is over time, if you're doing this a lot on the energy level, because you don't have the great difference in polarity, you could mm-hmm. run the risk of burning yourself out. I don't know if that's the case, but I've heard that can happen. So just, I do want to make that as one, one little note there.
Okay. Well, thank you for covering that. I really wanted to hear that. But if anyone else has any questions, you can press 1 to ask, and or just post it in the group as you all have been doing. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And I'm going to play a song, and we'll come back, and we'll pretty much, if there are no questions, we will wrap up this show. And anything else that you want to say before play a song, either one of you?
Go ahead.
No? Okay.
No, I was giving the for myself, I just say that definitely look more into these things. If you have more questions, definitely hit me up, my website, my email address, my phone number. We are being dominated right now on this planet by people who know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They know these things, and they have tried their mm-hmm. best to always keep this away from the average person. They understand the power of subtle energy. The hydrogen bomb. See, we always keep thinking about the big things, but the hydrogen bomb is from splitting. To my knowledge, is splitting the hydrogen atom. Well, we're made of hydrogen, so how powerful are we?
Right. So let me ask you something. How can I get to do what you're doing? What steps will I have to make in order to do what you're doing?
Definitely, just the path on it. What you would do to your is you basically will tune in to what's going on inside of yourself more, as far as your emotions, your feelings, your belief systems around sex, your belief systems around women, your belief system. The most powerful thought, and this is for all of us, the most powerful thought that we can have is our relationship to God.
Right.
If we're still thinking that we are separate from it, that we need to pray to it, and that we, the truth about it is that we are never disconnected from it. We can never be disconnected from it.
Right.
We are always connected to the divine. And you start your energy work, and your life starts becoming more and more powerful the more you go into the knowing of that. So really, mm-hmm. you just start the mm-hmm. you start the journey of that knowing. And then from there, it's like, how do you want to play with it? There's so many different ways you can play with the energy once you really get that understanding about who you really are.
I see.
Wonderful. Yes, sir. What other? Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I just said that's what's up. That's all. My little cliche go to.
Nice. What other tips do you want to give for individuals who are interested in pursuing this more?
Well, you know what? I definitely, as far as like a general thing, that would be the number one thing is what I just said as far as design thing. Now, as far as personalized, that's why I would say, hit me up so I can, definitely give you, and definitely give them something that will be pertinent to their path, to what's going on with them in their life. I do have different tools and resources and books and all different types of meditations and things that I could recommend to people. So that's where I would like to have a personal conversation with the person and really just get a feel for what's going on with them, and I can point them in the right direction.
Do you want to share like your fees, or do you want them to just go to the website?
As far as the fees and everything, it is listed on the website. That's for 4 sessions. As far as the individual session and everything, I do that as well. They can hit me up on that, and I'll go into that with them and everything. I've kept my prices down. Like sometimes people look on there and they're like, they look at it as like, but that is for four sessions.
Okay.
You know, and that is for the, that's for the energy work component of it. I don't have listed right now. I'm going to be updating my website, so I have the men's prices and everything on there. But I do the Qigong mm-hmm. and everything for, you know, the Qigong consulting for them as well.
Okay, great. I do have someone who stated she really likes you, so that's good.
Oh, thanks.
I love to hear that.
Well, that's what's up. I like that.
I'm just happy that my listeners are pleased.
Keroy, you definitely hit me up. I apologize, Mika. Keroy, definitely hit me up, man. I know,
I got you, man.
Yeah, that was a general answer I gave you, but I definitely like to just talk to you, man, off the cuff, man, and see what you got going on, man. I can point you in the right direction. Not the right direction.
Hey,
I can point you in the direction. Yeah, no question.
Hey, I'll definitely hit you up.
That's what's up.
That sounds great. I'm so happy that this has been a very fulfilling conversation tonight. I'm thankful for you taking the time to come on the show. You're more than welcome to come on anytime. If you want to, for sure, you tell them, Shofar, tell them how you, I guess, look me up, I suppose.
Yes, it was... what was it? Ebony Magazine, I believe. I believe it was one sister in there, because I do that sometimes. If it has anything doing with sex or consciousness or anything, then I just try to hit them up and let them know I'm out here, you know? And so I went on the one sister's website. I do make a, you know, I don't remember who the sister was now, but on her website, I want to say that she had, either you had got, I guess, to their service or vice versa. But when it said, you know, said underneath your name what you do, I was like, oh, I got to reach out to the sister. And so that's how I found Mika. Come to find out, though, she's on Master Yao's book. So, I mean, there you have it.
The energy of the universe is quite amazing because I don't know where I am out there in this world sometimes. So I'm grateful for whatever promotion, whatever I get. So thank you very much. But I wanted to say that to go into how we decided to do this. So he reached out to me and wanted to talk more about what I do and how we could possibly work together or at least be able to promote each other. And then he offered me a session. So I remember I have not talked about that yet. So so we did the session. We did the session over Skype last night, and it was very much so exactly what you said it was. I'll give you all my experience from beginning to end. I just laid down in the bed, and I was fully clothed. And that's for the young lady that's out there that says if she has to be naked, you have to be naked. But I was fully clothed. It wasn't anything sexual happening, but I could definitely feel the energy move at certain times. So we're laying there and we're doing the breath work, and sometimes I became so relaxed I fell asleep, which was counterintuitive to what he wanted to happen. But it relaxed me. I can't help it. I was relaxed. But I did wake up, and then we took a break, and we started again. But I could feel the energy flow in different parts. And it's just like a jolt. It felt like a little jolt of energy. And I'm sure if I had gone on a little longer, I would have felt a little bit more, maybe become a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more sexually connected to myself. So I thought it was very beneficial, and I really enjoyed it. I will take the time, Shofar, to do a longer one, a true session. But I wanted to at least experience before I talk to everyone about it. A lot of my clients know that I don't tell them to do anything or I don't suggest anything. I don't even really discuss anything that I haven't done myself. So I definitely wanted to make sure I experience a piece of that before we brought you on the show. So I appreciate you taking the time to do that with me, and I did value the experience. So.
Oh, you're welcome, Mika. You're definitely welcome. It was a pleasure. I enjoy it so much, and it's always new and different to me. You don't know what's going to show up, so that's what makes it very, very interesting and very fulfilling. And one other little small note I like to say there is that to take the pressure off of the woman, to take the pressure off of the man, the sexual response isn't the goal. You know, so if the man, you know, if the couple go, if they go into the bedroom, like, oh, I gotta make an orgasm by, you know, looking at or touch. No. You already gonna lock your energy up by doing that. You already gonna create an atmosphere where energy is not flowing because you already been told the energy something they want to do with it might not even want to do in this session. That's not what needs to happen. You know, so we have to just get at a place where our mind is out the way and we allow the energy to flow and do what it needs to do. That might be taking a nap. You know, that might be, you know, it might look like, you know, orgasm after orgasm. We don't, so we have to just kind of step back out the way for a second and allow the energy to do what it needs to do.
So did something come up for you? Do things come up for you? Because when I did a Reiki session, I told you this really reminded me of the Reiki session that I've done before. But when I've done the Reiki sessions in the past, the lady, something comes up for her sometimes. Like she may say, you know, there's some type of block that's keeping me from making this decision or doing this or whatever. So do things come up for you? Do you notice where the blocks are? And if you do notice where the blocks are, do you talk to people about how to get rid of those blocks?
I can sometimes feel or tell what's going on and what places or whatever. That's why I may touch the foot at this point in the session or whatever, because I feel the energy is blocking, being blocked in a certain channel or meridian or river or chi or whatever. The energy is not moving. So that's some of the things that I tune in with or whatever. What I find, though, a lot of times, Mika, the way it more commonly works out is that the person will come back with information themselves that they tell, like, while I was going through that or whatever, you know, I realized that, you know, my relationship with my father, you know, and blah, 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 you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, you know. There was nothing that I was privy to, but that knowledge was released to them at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more common usually how that works in my sessions. That may be, you know, something also that as I go deeper in this too, maybe then I'll start getting clear audience as well where I'm hearing things that pertains to the person. But as of right now, it's just kind of more intuitive. Like, it'd be often like I start touching someplace or whatever, the back of the neck or whatever, and the woman is like, I didn't even tell you, but, you know, my neck, and I just felt the strong impulse at that moment to touch her neck. So that's happened too. Like, you know, I didn't tell you before the session or whatever, but, you know, my shoulder was going, and then right at that moment, you touched my shoulder. So that happens as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Keroy, any more questions before we start wrapping up the show? Or if anyone else has a question, just press 1 and we will bring you on. Or if you just want to make a comment to Shofar, you're more than welcome to.
Well, Shofar, I learned a whole lot doing this show. So I'll definitely keep in touch to get more information about that. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it, man. Definitely.
All right.
Okay. Well, if there are no questions, we will wrap up this show tonight. So far, we appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I really thank you for this. And, of course, whatever else we could do together, I would love to do it. I'm very open, so just keep me in mind. And if you ever want to come back on, just let me know. You're more than welcome to the G-Spots at any time. So, everyone, you are listening to the G-Spot with Mika Ray on blogtalkradio.com, WJBR. And join us on Saturdays as well, which is Brunch in the Basement with Javon from 11 until 1. And then on Sunday from 6:30 to 8:30, we do Sunday Evening Shout. And, of course, we'll be back here on Mondays at 10 p.m. with the G-Spot. And that is on the first, third, and fourth Monday of the month. The second Monday of the month, we do intimate realness with Rignair. Last Saturday, this past Saturday, we did a show, me and Javon, on Brunch in the Basement. We had a great show. It was so much fun. We did a sexy song challenge. So she did all the songs from, and it was so unfair. She did all the songs from 1999 and back. And then I did the sexy songs from 2000 and up. She had a much wider range to work with. But even so, I still won the challenge. Because I know sexy music. But it was fun. We're going to do a part two of that show very, very soon. And I hope you all tune in for that. And if there's nothing else, guys, we're going to end the show. We're going to end it with The Fire We Make by Alicia Keys featuring... oh, gosh, why did God name just left me? Okay, I can't think of his name. It'll come to me in a minute. But we're doing the...
Maxwell, right?
Yeah, Maxwell. Thank you. Thank you. Goodness, it
You're
just
welcome.
Blew my mind just so quick.
And thank you. Thank you, Mika, for having me. Thank you, Kiroy. You know, it was good talking to you cats, and I will. I'll be talking to you. Thank you.
Oh, it's fun. Oh, thank you as well. Take care.
All right, peace.
Okay, you all. Good night.
Good night.
It's the fire we make.
It's the fire.